This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, April 22nd. Well, the wheat markets last week were generally under pressure throughout the week. We saw Chicago down 20, Kansas City down 14, Minneapolis down 8, corn was down 2, soybeans down 15. So it was pretty much a selling attitude across the grain complex. Wheat, of course, getting the most pressure, consistently speaking, and we saw the spreads actually have quite a bit of activity as well, with the quality wheats not pulling down as much as the higher quality wheats. Some of this was early, you know, kind of set off early in the week with the crop condition rating showing that soft red wheat had improved in quality and condition, and also hard red winter wheat was improving as well, but it was the soft red that had been the most concern as far as crop conditions, and seeing the bump there kind of really pulled the plug out from under them. Also, seeing some better growing conditions across Europe and the Black Sea sets them up for big crops coming. And the reports, the estimates that we're getting, especially from the Black Sea, that's looking pretty ominous as far as they're going to be potentially near record wheat production. And it was just 2 years ago that they had a monster crop, 85 million tons. This year, Sovicon already projecting around 83.5 million tons. So the crop is getting bigger this early in the season. That tells you something. They had a very mild winter, so we don't expect to see that winter kill will be even really at the average, which is generally about 10%. So this sets them up very nicely for at least a very good start to the growing season. The Europeans had gotten off to just a bit of a dry start, but they've had some decent rains as well. Ukraine, which had generally been trending dry over the last 3 or 4 weeks, had a very good shot of rain last week across pretty much the whole country. When you look at the forecast, there are about 2 or 3 more rain events coming across Europe into the Black Sea region. So it's a wide area. They are looking at good rains. And at this point, we just don't see any trouble spots across major producing areas of Europe and the Black Sea. Even in China, the North China Plain, which had been trending dry, they are looking at pretty good soaking rains as well. So this is something that's going to, it's a bearish tone to the market. And even though China, most of their winter wheat is irrigated across the North China Plain, but this sets them up, you know, very well, obviously for the unirrigated areas, but also for the spring planted crops, which are not irrigated, like corn, which is a major crop for them. Not that that would make a huge difference, even if they had some production problems, they still hold half the world's inventory of both wheat and corn. So we're looking at pretty good sized crops here in the United States, even with record low wheat plantings. You're still looking at least average yields, and probably the market's going to start factoring in above average yields out of the southern and central plains for hard red winter wheat. Soft red, probably not above average yields, but at least at this point, you're holding off any further production problems out of most of soft red country. Export sales last week were pretty solid, 596,000 tons. That was right within the range of estimates. Hard red winter wheat made up 54% of that sale at 320,000 tons. Spring wheat was 17% of the sale at 102,000 tons. Soft red wheat made up 43,000 tons and white wheat 76,000 tons. In corn, 966,000 tons, that was at the high end of the range of estimates. In soybeans at 403,000 tons, that was toward the low end of the range of estimates. So with soybeans, of course, a lot just depends on how trade negotiations are going with China. They've bought a pretty good chunk of soybeans over the last couple months, but obviously they're still running well behind where they typically are. And we don't have any confirmation of a trade progress. There's a lot of chatter, a lot of promises coming from the White House and even China, but we haven't seen anything really materialize, any concrete commitments or anything in writing. So, you know, that is obviously a drag on the market as well. Not to mention you've got the harvest ongoing in South America with huge crops of corn and soybeans. That's going to be pressuring world prices for the next few months. And as we get into our growing season, if we don't see any trouble spots there, then corn and soybeans are going to have a difficult time moving higher as well. With wheat, seasonally, you're moving higher this time of year. You're usually pushing up into, you know, through April, usually at least the last half of April into early May. Well, obviously the market's not doing that at all. We're into new contract lows in Chicago, in Kansas City and Minneapolis. Chicago's about to get there with the kind of pressure that it's seeing and the momentum to the downside that we're seeing. It's gathering some steam to the downside. Large traders are carrying a record short position in Kansas City, and they're getting close to that in Chicago with some pretty aggressive selling over the last week. And that's just as of Tuesday. And of course, we saw more pressure from the rest of the week. So it's a tough stretch here. I think that my guess is that if the market just continues on down into early May, that our seasonals will probably be flipped on their heads, that we'll probably be putting in a low in early May instead of a high. If you get some kind of a rally, even if it's just three or four days up into early May, that's probably going to suffice for a seasonal high. Unfortunately, it doesn't make sense, you know, because you're not following the seasonal tendency. But if the market's showing any kind of strength into that window and you don't have any production problems showing up around the Northern Hemisphere, then I think the traders are really going to lean into this market. They're going to be looking at Russia and the potential production coming out of there. And we're painfully aware of what they can do in the export market. They have deep water ports and shallow water ports. They've made serious infrastructure improvements. So they can be exporters throughout the marketing year. Now that's just a capacity side of it. When you look at the demand side of it, they have made inroads into every major, really, and frankly, every minor market around the world, even to markets that have very strict requirements as far as quality. They've been able to show that they have the quality that these guys are looking for. And that has seriously undercut the U.S., number one, but other quality providers like Canada. That's, you know, we've been basically pushed aside when it comes to the wheat exports. We're clearly no longer the major exporter. We're no longer the price setter. All of that filters through Russia now. And that's not slowing down. They're increasing production. They're increasing acreage. And it's not just for wheat. They're looking at other crops as well. But wheat was their primary goal. And their goal stated 20 years ago was that they wanted to become the world's major wheat exporter. They have clearly done that. They did that several years ago, in fact. And when it comes to world wheat prices, we just need to look at Russia and the direction that their prices are going. Their prices have basically stabilized here over the last couple weeks, but the issue there is they've still got some carryover from last year. They're still in a major exporter mode, and they're looking at a big crop coming on. So producers are going to be much more willing to sell wheat, and that'll find its way into the export channel. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, we're looking at big yields coming out of here in the United States for hard red. We're not looking at a monster crop simply because acres are down so much, but we're still looking at a pretty big size crop. But the problem is goes beyond our borders, that, you know, we're looking at Europe with a big production potential, and especially the Black Sea, with Ukraine getting some much needed rains over last week and Russia set up for a monster crop. That just really sets the tone for the wheat space as we move forward. Now, unless something happens, unless you get an unexpected freeze or a late freeze, or, you know, drought settles back in or dryness settles back in to the Canadian prairies, a lot of things can change. And of course, plantings are going to be a big part of that. Here in the United States, the Northern Plains getting off to a fairly slow start, but, you know, you can plant spring wheat deep into May, and even into June we've seen it happen, and we've done okay. If it's rain that's delaying the plantings, then obviously you're going to have the moisture there when it comes time to get the crop started. So the bottom line with wheat is that we're looking at improving prospects for production across the Northern Hemisphere with pretty decent carryover from key producers like Russia, and their exports continue on a pretty solid pace. That's the drag on the market, and the hedge funds see this, and they're leaning heavily into this market, and I think that's going to be the story moving forward. You know, as we approach $3 in Kansas City, well, the $3 handle, I should say, it's a little breathtaking, but Again, if you don't have any production problems and you're staring down the barrel of major competition again in this next marketing year, that's going to be a tough one for the wheat market to handle. And I think that's why you just continue to work your way lower here. So again, seasonally, you'd be working your way higher into late April into early May. We don't see that happening. If the market just continues on south, and would probably put in a low right around the crop report in early May. We'll just see how things play out. But the fundamentals do not show a bullish structure to this market. And I think the market's going to have difficulty maintaining any rallies. If you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.